This is an AMI podcast.
I'm Kelly McDonald. Here's a segment from our show, Kelly and Company, that airs weekdays from 2 to 4 p.m. Eastern on AMI Audio. Welcome back to the program. Ramya Muth and Kelly McDonald. We are the hosts of Kelly and Company here weekdays from 2 to 4 p.m. Eastern time. And again, as we mentioned earlier, check us out via podcast if you can't be with us for the live show or the repeat. And of course, lots of other great audio programming and podcasts available from AMI Audio you can check out as well. So we're not even 2 weeks into our New Year's resolutions, which we were discussing yesterday that Ramya and I make the biggest resolution of all, we don't make any. Or maybe you would start them on February 1st as a preference, just to be different, Ramya. But here to combat the new year, new you phenomenon that's out there is registered nurse Leslie DePoe.
I'm Leslie DePoe, registered nurse. Until I got into healthcare, I didn't realize how many people around me had questions about taking care of their own health. So I'm really happy to share some of those answers with you. Join me for the monthly health check-in, and we'll talk about everyday questions about everyday health.
Happy New Year, Leslie. Welcome back to the program.
Happy New Year. Thanks for having me. It's always such a nice time. I'll always look forward to chatting with you guys.
Well, we appreciate it. We'll get another year started here on the show as we do our first health check-in with you of 2022. And it looks like we're kicking off the new year with a chat about resolutions, but I'm going to assume these are health related.
Well, sure. I mean, health as in holistic, as in your whole self wellness. Yes, absolutely health related. And for sure, we will chat about them. I mean, it should come as no surprise that I have a lot of feelings about New Year's resolutions. I mean, I have a lot of feelings, but specifically this time about New Year's resolutions. So perhaps we'll start there first before we get into specifics, because then I really want to get into what I'm going to call one of the best New Year's resolutions you can make for your health.
Excellent. All right. Okay. Are you going to say that you like New Year's resolutions or you don't? Because I feel like this is a polarizing topic and you're not normally short on opinions when it comes to topics like this.
Very true. Spoken like my husband. Yes, you're right. I'm never short on opinions. And I definitely have one about New Year's resolutions. I mean, listen, everybody loves a fresh start, a new calendar, a fresh day timer, a new yoga mat. I mean, hope springs eternal, right? I love a good motivator just like the next one. And there's nothing like a new month or even a new year that sort of gives lots of folks that extra kick in the backside they were hoping for. So am I pro resolution? I mean, in a way, very much and always. But I can't say I'm always a fan. And the reason for that is because I really do think they're often a setup for failure kind of a situation.
Right. Yep.
And you know, that just often leads to regression of behaviors. And sometimes with that, a lot of the mental health stuff that comes along with you know, not meeting a goal you set out for yourself, shame mm-hmm. and self-doubt and depression. And, you know, and why is that? And again, I think a lot of it comes down to the fact that we don't make realistic goals. And I'm all about the SMART goals. So that's an acronym, SMART, specific, measurable, attainable, realistic, and time sensitive. So I think that's a huge thing that people don't take into account, which is, you know, why we fall into these kind of poor behaviors. I mean, really, it all revolves around whether or not you're actually ready to change. And research tells us that we actually change, or the act of changing happens in four steps. Step number one, you're not actually really considering changing at all. You're aware it might be a problem. You're aware you might want it not to be a problem, but you're actually not considering changing whatsoever. Second step is you're actually contemplating the change. So, okay, I might be willing to modify, I might be willing to cut back on my caffeine intake. Maybe. I mean, I'm aware that my heart is racing all the time and I sweat through my clothes. That's the not really considering it part. Oh, but okay, I've read a couple articles. It sounds interesting. Third step is you're actually preparing to make a change. Okay, I've replaced my regular coffee with decaf. Okay, I've found some really good alternatives. I'm going to use those instead. And then number four is actually making the change. And the trouble is that so many people make their resolutions when they're only in stage one or stage two. In other words, they're not actually ready for anything. That's why this whole new year, new you thing, it's a lovely sentiment, but setting yourself up for this motto when you're only in stage one or stage two is really just a recipe for letdown. True change does not come, as we all know, from one day or one decision. It comes from small, consistent actions over an extended period of time. So To make a long story long, am I for New Year's resolutions? Yes, but I want to see you succeed. So for anybody who's an all or nothing, you know, buy the day timer, write it down, you'll instantly have abs, you know, all which for the record, I'm definitely the same person. I'm very black and white, so I empathize a lot. But obviously it would be a better choice to go low and slow if you want to see some real change.
Yeah, and I love how in the four-step method that you're talking about, the changes have to do with a very particular piece of thing, you know, like an action mm-hmm. or a lifestyle or whatever. And it's not you, you know, you're not changing yourself and all this kind of stuff. Interesting. Mm-hmm. So all in all, does it mean that we shouldn't really necessarily be doing resolutions? Because for everyone who hasn't made it to the gym yet, or those of us, Kelly, maybe, I don't know, who've enjoyed dessert for breakfast might be very glad to hear that resolutions are canceled chocolate along with cake. Everything else.
I mean, listen, this is an all or nothing person's dream case scenario, mine included. Oh, so what's that? I can't be perfect. Well, then I'm not going to try it all. I refuse right. to only eat one piece of this. So therefore I'm eating the whole cake. So first of all, I'm not going to say don't do resolutions, but I am going to say assess your readiness for change and be honest with yourself. There's mm-hmm. lots of change assessment tools you can look at online. But honestly, just sitting down with yourself in a big bucket of honesty is normally your best way to start. I would then say, if you're going to do this, find your comfort zone and then push it, but only a bit. So for example, I want to start exercising for health benefits, but I have previously been utterly sedentary since the pandemic started. So maybe don't get up tomorrow and run 10K on day one. Because likely what's going to happen is, even if you succeeded in that, you are going to be a heck of a lot of sore the next day. And now you can't do it the day after because you're recovering. And now you've missed one day. So the whole New Year's resolution's out the window. So I might as well just eat the cake.
Right.
And we can all see how quickly that spirals. So start with doing something that is within your reach and then push it, but only a little bit. So maybe that means you're going to go for a walk today, and tomorrow you're going to add just one extra minute to your walk. And that's all you do. You just add 1 minute every day for a month. Maybe that's as far as you go. I think the other thing too is recognize the positives of resolutions. I mean, there's loads of benefits to resolutions. I definitely don't want to say don't do them at all. But again, I think, you know, recognizing what some of those positives might be can also be a nice place to start. I'm going to say, again, I go back to those specific, measurable, attainable, realistic, time-specific goals. Here's some really, I'm just going to give you a few that are kind of, I'm going to say they're health related because you're going to see why in a second, but they're not your typical health resolutions. So some great examples would be make your bed every morning. That's very specific. It's very measurable. It's pretty attainable, I think, for most people. Realistic, yes. Time specific, sure. You can say I'm going to try and do a 30-day run in a row. Does making your bed in the morning all of a sudden mean that you've somehow combated early onset diabetes? Of course not. However, it is a step in the right direction of keeping a promise to yourself and watching yourself succeed. And those small, measurable, consistent moments build over time. They don't just build in terms of achieving whatever the goal might be, make my bed every morning, but it also helps you achieve those goals of with regards to your own mental health. So in terms of validating your own experience, proving yourself right, having a goal that you get to achieve, there's huge benefits to that as well. Some other really great resolutions that are not your typical go to the gym 12 times a week situation: get outside every day for just 10 minutes. No screen time for an hour before bed. My New Year's, I'm not really one for resolutions, but I couldn't help myself this year. I put timers on all of my apps on my phone. I only get an hour on anything that's social media combined. Other than that, the whole phone locks itself out and I'm out. I just wanted to do it for 30 days. I'll see if I go past that. But take a look at things like that. No screen time for an hour before bed. Some bad examples: be healthier, eat better. It's so bland, for lack of a better word, and it's not specific enough. How do you even know if you've achieved that goal? And inevitably what happens is you don't know if you've achieved it, but you'll find 1,000 reasons to tell yourself you didn't. And then the wheels fall off the apple cart and nothing gets done.
Fantastic. Like, you think about it and go, wow. Yeah. Okay. So I got to know, are one of those your number one resolution? Kind of curious.
You know what? I am going to say I say this every year. I have to as a healthcare provider, but it's also just a good time of year to bring it up. January is our month where we recognize quitting smoking. It's a national and an international initiative. I still think quitting smoking is a fantastic goal. New Year's or not. But I think the health benefits from that, and obviously we know what the negative implications are. I think it's a really great time to just think about it. At least start. We know that cigarettes and other forms of tobacco as well can be super powerful, very addictive. And then, of course, once you're addicted, then you don't feel normal going without. So, you know, when your brain starts to crave nicotine, you're super irritable. You can get really uncomfortable. The idea, like, these are our immediate things that people will see. But, of course, the long-term health benefits of actually being able to get that out of your life, which is a pretty black or white thing. I remember somebody once telling me it's so much easier to quit smoking than it is to eat healthier. And I said, well, what do you mean by that? And they said, well, I have to eat. I have to make a decision every time I choose what to eat. I have to decide, is it healthy? Is it not healthy? Is it paleo? Is it this? Is it that?
Right.
Smoking, she said to me, she goes, it's black and white. You either smoke or you don't smoke. And she found that to be really helpful. Again, a little bit all or nothing personality, but you can see how you can get some really good benefits.
Yeah, for sure. So how does someone know, though? I mean, that's a really good example of kind of comparing it to something else that might be a more difficult, attainable goal. But how does someone know when they're ready to quit smoking?
You know what? It's a great question. And what I would say is mostly you're going through those four stages, right? So there's the first one where everyone around you tells you should quit smoking. You have zero interest. It's not happening. You're a smoker, always will be. I can hear you. I'm not interested. So how do you know when you're starting to get interested is those conversations or those little moments tend to last a little bit longer. And instead of just hearing them and dismissing them, you're starting to imagine what the next step looks like. So now you're telling me, gee, you know, you should really think about giving this up. And now I'm going to think about what would it be like to drive the car and not smoke? What would it be like if I actually went to that barbecue and I didn't have a cigarette? You actually are going to start to picture yourself in these scenarios and imagine what it could be like. And I think the really big thing too, just to throw this out there, not that we don't all know this, but it's never too late to quit. It's always worth it. You are always worth it. But it's always worth it. It doesn't matter how old you are. It doesn't matter how long it's been going on for. It's always worth it. So I think that's the first sign, is that people start to actually imagine themselves in some of these scenarios where normally there'd be a cigarette in their hand. What will it look like if I don't have one?
Excellent. That's really incredible when you think about some of those little steps that make that difference instead of the big chunk that you try to take of it. So we all know that less smoking is a good thing for you, or no smoking, no matter what. But what are some of the other benefits that if people decide to make the plunge, what might they be those benefits?
Absolutely. And I love these stats. I love stuff like this. Within 8 hours, your carbon monoxide level drops in your body and your oxygen level in your blood increases to normal. 8 hours. After 48 hours, you're 2 days in, your chances of a heart attack start to go down and your sense of smell and taste improve. By 72 hours, 3 days in, lung capacity increases. Now, here's where it gets super exciting to me. After 1 year, your risk of a smoking-related heart attack is cut in half in 1 year. In half. By 10 years, your risk of dying from lung cancer is cut in half. And by 15 years after you've quit smoking, your risk of dying from a heart attack is the same as a person who has never smoked. And I think that those little moments where you can just celebrate them. So again, we're talking about those smart goals, those specific, measurable, attainable. I think that having little pieces of intel at every step of the way, hourly, daily, yearly, can be some of those motivators. I know there's some really great apps about this that calculates how much money you've saved by not smoking anymore. I had a plumber come into the house over Christmas and he was still a smoker. You could smell it when he walked in the house. And I asked how much a pack of cigarettes was. Good heavens, that's gone up. So maybe that's the motivator for you, which is fine. It doesn't have to start with health if that's not where your head's at right now. The important thing is to stay curious, to keep putting yourself first, and to start with those small, attainable steps.
Absolutely wonderful. And Leslie, I've just loved some of just the small little things that you've talked about. 10 minutes outside each day. Mm-hmm. Doesn't matter if it's on the balcony, going for a little walk, whatever it might be. Thank you as usual. We'll talk to you next month.
Thanks so much. Have a great day.
You betcha. Leslie DePoe joins us on the second Wednesday of the month for a health check-in right here on Kelly & Company. Fantastic stuff. Great wisdom that she brings to the program. Coming up next, how can we get started to organize our kitchen? We learn more with Mary Mammolini of Kitchen Confession right after this.
You've been listening to Kelly and Company. If you're hooked, subscribe to the podcast on iTunes, Google Play, Stitcher, or your favorite podcast platform. And be sure to leave us a rating and review. Or you can listen live from 2 to 4 p.m. Eastern on AMI Audio.
This was an AMI podcast. For more accessible media, visit AMI.ca.